if you were here last week at the end of the service, I just mentioned that this Sunday, we're just going to be talking a little bit about Journey Church, about maybe who we are, where we are, and even just some ideas of maybe where we're going in the upcoming year. And if this is your first Sunday here at Journey Church, I want to welcome you, and you'll get some insight into who we are. And if this is a church you've been coming to for a while, this would be an opportunity for you just to dig a little bit deeper into maybe what we're about and what the Lord's kind of doing in us and through us and beyond us. So I'm excited to kind of jump into that. But before I talk too much about the church, I feel like I need to preach at least a little bit, like to share a little bit out of the Word of God. So I'm going to do that first. And it all relates, so don't worry. It won't be like two different messages or any sort of bait and switch kind of idea. But so this last week, I got a new Bible. Now, you have to understand that as a pastor, when you get a new Bible, it's a lot like a teenager who gets a new pair of like a basketball shoes. Like when I was in high school and I got like my first pair of like Air Jordan basketball shoes, I was convinced that I could run faster, jump higher, shoot three-pointers better, and dunk, which, unless the shoes were magic or had like were spring-loaded, that, well, it did happen once, but that's a different story for a different day. But there's these new shoes, they get us excited. I've shared that before, how much I like really enjoy like getting new shoes, or at least at that time I did, how they made me feel like I run faster. And it's similar for me, at least as a pastor, with like a new Bible, which sounds, I know, dorky and weird and pastory, but when I got a new Bible, it comes in a new translation. It comes with all these different study notes, and I just am excited about what the Lord is going to maybe reveal to me through it in these days through the Holy Spirit. But I tell you that because as I started reading this from this new Bible, I jumped right into the beginning, right into Genesis, and I came across a verse that was one that was very familiar to me, but jumped off the page as I read it. So it may be familiar to you as well. It's found in Genesis chapter 1. It's verses 26 and 27. And it says this. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground.' So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." So we see as we look at this passage that we, as mankind, that we were created in the image of God. And in some really unexplainable way, we get to be image bearers of God. And that this was something that it was by design. It was put in place on purpose from the beginning. I mean, this is Genesis chapter 1. We're only 26 verses in, and we see that by design that we are created, that mankind was created in the image of God. You know, mankind has this unique position or this unique place that we get to reflect God in a different way than all of creation. You see, all of creation will point towards a creator, but mankind, we reflect the creator. And there's a difference between just pointing towards and reflecting. And not only as mankind are we created to bear his image or to reflect the image of God, but we were created for a purpose, a unique and special purpose as mankind. And we get a glimpse of this as we begin to look into these two verses. We see some of the initial purposes. He talks about reigning over the fish and over the birds and over the livestock and over the animals. And I don't know about you, but I find this a little bit hard to believe because I have a hard time just reigning over my dog. It's like, sit, and we're working on that. But it gives us a glimpse, just an idea of our initial purpose of playing a part of what God is doing here on earth, that we were actually created on purpose, for a purpose. And that's something that we've said here before and we've talked about in here before. But mankind, in general, it has a purpose of bringing glory to God, that mankind has a purpose, a general purpose of bringing glory to God as image bearers on earth. We see this in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 and 7. It says there, it says, "I will say to the north and south, bring my sons and daughters back to Israel from the distant corners of the earth. Bring all who claim me as their God, for I have made them for my glory. It was I who created them." You see, this happens, we bring glory to God when we know God, We continue to bring glory to God when we love God, and we bring glory to God when we show God. And all of this is demonstrated through the working of Jesus Christ in and through us in the places that we find ourselves. We have a general purpose as mankind to bring glory to God, but we also have a unique purpose as people. That people, maybe apart from mankind, like you and I as individuals, we have a unique purpose. And that is, we see at least in this passage, part of it was to rule over, like the earth, to rule over the animals and the birds and to farm and some of these things. In fact, when you read this same verse in the NIV, it says, so that, God says, so that they may rule over. And while this maybe has some ongoing implications for us, there's some ongoing implications of what it means to rule and to reign on the earth, I really believe it points to the specific and unique part that each of us has to play here on earth. To be who we are, where we are. You see, when he said that to reign over the earth, there was this overall purpose that he was giving to people, but I think there was almost a specific and unique purpose that was given to those that he was planting right then and right there. And that as we continue on in our experience of creation, that we each have a unique purpose. To be who we are, where we are. And so when we talk about those two things, being who we are and where we are, the first one is who we are. That's who we are uniquely equipped and designed to be. Now, I don't know if you've ever walked around and saw, like, what do they call it, a doppelganger? Like a lookalike, someone who's like your twin, but you don't know him. It's like, that person looks just like me. Or someone finds them online and they send you a picture. Jimmy Fallon does it all the time, if you watch Jimmy Fallon. He always shows weird pictures of people that look like him. But the reality is there's no one else just like you. There's no one else with your unique giftings and it was equipped in the way that you were. You are one of a kind, and so you have a unique and specific purpose here on earth. And that's who you are. And then we talk about where you are, who we are and where we are, speaking exactly to the unique position and placement that you find yourself in right now. That we've all been placed into a situation, a location, maybe even a vocation that is specific and unique to us, to you and to me, so that we can be who we are, who we are uniquely equipped and designed to be, where we are, where we've been specifically positioned and placed to be who we are, where we are. Now, in order to do that, when we talk about being who we are and being where we are, that in order to fulfill that, in order to do that, it requires us to be obedient. Sorry, it requires obedient availability. We see this throughout the Bible. When you look at like all the really well-known stories, we see people that demonstrated obedient availability. We see it in David when he fought Goliath. He demonstrated obedient availability. We see it with Moses when he led Israel out of Egypt. We saw obedient availability. We see it in Noah when he built the ark, that there was obedient availability. And we see it with Jesus when he died on the cross in order to complete his specific purpose. We see obedient availability. And to fulfill our purpose, it's going to require obedient availability. You see, we don't need to manufacture like a mission and a purpose for ourselves. We don't have to just kind of make something up. We don't have to make up an idea of what it is we're supposed to do. We simply, although not easily, need to be obediently available to be who we are, where we are. You see, there's times, I think, in our lives when God is going to tell us, he's going to say, go. We read a great story about that later on in Genesis with Abram, where God says, go to this land. I'm asking you to leave the land you're in currently. I want you to go to this land. But that's not like the maybe the most common experience. I don't know if God is always asking us to go. Let me tell you this. If he does, then do it. And I've experienced that. I mean, my family and I, we've had an opportunity to hear the Lord say, go to this place and do this thing. And you're better off being obedient in those moments than not. But the reality is he doesn't always call us to go. Sometimes he simply asks us to be. Again, to be who we are and where we are. to be who he's uniquely designed and equipped us to be, exactly where he's positioned us to be. And I apologize for tossing myself into the third person here for a second, but I feel like when I hear the Lord say that, he says, God, Scott, be who you are, where you are. He's saying, Scott, be Scott to your wife and to your family. He's saying, be Scott in your neighborhood. Be Scott in your community. Be Scott in your kids' school. Be Scott with your church. To be who you are, where you are. And when we do that, when we're being who we are, it takes the ordinary. It takes us, who are extremely ordinary, and it partners us with the extraordinary, with Jesus Christ within us, with the Holy Spirit who empowers us. And the result, the byproduct of that, is what we just talked about before, like our overall general purpose in mankind, is that it brings glory to God. When we take the ordinary, us, and we partner it with the extraordinary. Now, as you were kind of maybe thinking, yeah, I thought we were going to talk about the church. Right now, we're just talking about us. Well, we are. We're going to talk about Journey Church and the overall church for a few moments because, really, they follow the same model of the body, a body that is uniquely equipped and designed, positioned, and placed. And so we see that if we talk about, like, the church in general, and we talk about, like, what we call maybe the Big C church, like the all of the churches and as they represent the body of Christ globally. Like there's a purpose behind the church. And generally speaking, the church exists to fulfill the purpose of God in Christ. And you maybe have heard a lot of churches that use this as their mission. It's like denominations, they say, to love God and to love people and to make the disciples. That's a general vision, a general idea of the overall mission of the church, the purpose of the church. Now, as a unique and local church, Journey Church has a specific and a unique mission that we believe that we're called to. And we've talked about this before, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, that we exist to help more people encounter Jesus and take next steps with him. That we're called to be who we are, where we are. We're called to be this uniquely designed and equipped gathering of people, placed and positioned exactly where we find ourselves right now, to be who we are, where we are. And as a Free Methodist church, and we talk about this sometimes, the Journey Church is a Free Methodist church. One of the great things about our denomination is that they give us autonomy as a church to be who we are, where we are, to allow the uniqueness that God is developing in us. And as a denomination, they encourage and support and equip and lead us in really developing that unique design, that unique equipping that the Lord is doing in the unique places that we find ourselves in. And they support us and allow us to do that, to be who we are, where we are. And so let's just talk about that for a moment. As a church, Journey Church, who we are. Well, if you look around, you'll see that as a church, we're a church that has a number of young families, a church that has a number of young adults, and if you don't fit into that category, you're still loved, you're still here. And what I know about the people in this church is that you have a desire and a heart for the next generation. You're not satisfied simply focusing on ourselves, but really focusing on those that would come after us, that they would continue and carry on the work that God is starting and doing and has done here on earth. So that's kind of who we are as a church, generally speaking. And then where we are is that we find ourselves here in Sherwood and in a community that really has a heart for family, a heart for kids and youth. And really, if you look at our location, even geographically in the area, you know, with Newburgh on one side and Tualatin and Tiger on the other side, we're in the heart of communities that do this. Communities that really focus on families. Communities where, a Rwandan friend used this expression once, he said, where kids are king, where kids are important, where kids are valued and really lifted up, maybe sometimes too high, but it's the way it is. And so after being a church here in Sherwood and in the surrounding communities for over 2 years, some of the things have risen to the kind of to the top in who we are, and those things are reflected in what we value as a church. like our values. I believe that our values will define kind of who we are and what we see as important. And so I have five. I might make up another one at the end. But I got five values that I want to share with you that maybe if you've been here for a while, you've heard some of these things. And if you haven't, they might be new to you. But they're even on a card. I know you came in, you got some handouts, you got some freebies, you got some stuff. There's a card on there that says our mission and our values. And so you can kind of follow along with me on that card that our values are these. The first is that we say keep it simple. And really, this is how we hope and plan to do church, that we want to keep it simple, that we want to focus on what we feel like is the most valuable and the most important. And so what we're focusing on when we keep it simple is we talk about gathering, scattering, and serving. That we're going to be very intentional to gather often on Sunday mornings and then in smaller groups. And we're going to be intentional that those are like some of the things that are really high importance for us to gather on Sunday mornings to gather in groups. And then we're going to scatter out into our communities, out into our neighborhoods, out into real life, because sometimes what happens in here doesn't always feel like it's even real life. And then we go home to our homes and into our work and into our school and into our neighborhood, and that's where real life kind of takes place. So we're not satisfied simply gathering together, but then we're going to scatter, taking the presence of Jesus with us wherever we go. And then we're going to serve, believing that we are really ministering to Jesus Christ himself whenever we're serving in the church or outside of the church or beyond into the world. So we're gonna keep it simple. We'll gather, scatter, and serve. And the next value you see on that list is that we're going to take next steps. And really for us, this is what discipleship looks like. This is how we become more like Jesus. We're going to take a next step to become more like him. It's why we talk about it so often. It's why we give and offer next steps to consider, because we want to become more like Jesus, and that's how we're going to do it in this place. Because the reality is, no matter how long you've been following Jesus, whether you've just started, you've been a Christian for your whole life, or you're maybe at this point, you have never even put your faith in Christ, everyone has a next step to take. And so we'll take next steps. The third value is this. It's we say room for more. And if you were here a few weeks ago, we talked for 4 or 5 weeks about this idea of room for more, looking at this parable in Luke, I think it was 14 or 15, the parable of the great feast. And where what we see in that parable was that God has a desire for his house to be full. And when I say his house, I don't mean his church, his local church, but I mean like his heavenly house and kingdom. That he sent his son Jesus to die for everyone. And then he's left the rest of us here to help make room for more, to help invite and to welcome more people. And so we want to be intentional in seeking out maybe people who aren't here yet. And how can we invite them in? How can we bring them in? How can we welcome them into the presence of God, to an encounter with Jesus Christ? Because we know that an encounter with Jesus can change everything. And so we're going to encourage, as a church, we're going to take that seriously, so that we're going to have room for more or make room for more in this place. And then the fourth value would be to know one. And really that idea of know one is the idea of community, getting connected in the church. And really, as soon as a church gets above maybe 50 people, that it's impossible for everyone to know everyone. But everyone can know someone. And that's so important and so valuable, that when people come in, that they are known by someone, or that they know someone. Getting connected, it's what Jesus modeled with his disciples, and it's what he calls his church to do, is to spend time together, to know each other, to love each other, to do life with one another. And then the last thing, the last value is together we'll get there. And really, this is like our culture. This is our mantra. If you've been here for any length of time, you've heard us say, together we'll get there. And really, Jesus, again, is our example for this. If you look throughout the Gospels, you rarely see Jesus walking or going somewhere by himself. He's usually followed by people, and typically with his disciples. He was intentional to build up a group of people that would come together, and that who would together accomplish Jesus' plans, the Lord's plans here on earth both while he was here, but after he left as well. That Jesus set an example for us that together you'll get there. And that's what we hope to do. And really, what we saw there as well was with Jesus and with his disciples was again what we talked about earlier, the idea of an obedient availability. So now that we know maybe who we are and we have an idea of where we are, the question that's maybe left, or there's two more questions, I got another one, is what is our vision, or what is for like 2018 and beyond? And what I mean by vision, like where are we going? You know, so if we've talked about who we are and where we are and our values, then where are we going in the upcoming year? Well, I have four things to kind of just share with you, that kind of things I think that we're going to see and try to do in the upcoming year. The first is that we're going to continue to invest in the next generation here at Journey Church. We've been intentional from the beginning to really make sure that we focused on our kids, and Terry did a wonderful job really establishing a place where kids can be safe, where kids can learn about Jesus at their level, and where families can feel comfortable leaving their kids and coming in and encountering Jesus. And then just over a year ago, I don't know if you realize this, but we've had a youth pastor for over a year now. I mean, that's like a victory in itself, right? But yeah, give him a round of applause. I mean, that in and of itself is just I was a next step in continuing to invest in the next generation. And as you know, we're in a position now where we're looking to see how will we continue to advance and take care of our kids' ministry at Journey Church. And so the plan at this point is that we want to hire what we call a next generation pastor. So someone who helps us to certainly take care of kids and families in that way, but someone who also would bring continuity from zero to young family. Like someone who can not only like help raise up our kids, but can also equip parents to lead kids and can help equip young adults who may someday become parents. I don't know. But someone who can help bring continuity and support and vision over that entire span of or scope of 0 to 30. It's a really easy job. But the hope is that within the next month or two that we'll begin finding people that are interested in such a position, people with the right gifts and abilities and calling, and who could be who they are, where they are in this place. And so we'll be investing in our next generation in that way. Another thing that we'll do in the upcoming year is that we're going to continue to make room for more. And specifically, we've talked about this a little bit, but the goal or the vision in 2018 is that we're hoping to add a service. And we're going to add a service not simply so we can be comfortable, so you got elbow room, so you can kick the legs out, take a nap if you want to. Some of you need to wake up right now. But the idea is not simply to make it more comfortable for us, but it's all about being intentional to seek after anybody that isn't in here or isn't with the Lord but needs to be, helping to invite and bring more people to the table. And so we're actually going to start that with our Christmas Eve service on December 24th, almost said 25th, December 24th. We're going to have two Christmas Eve services, one at 3 and one at 5. And not simply, again, this room's big enough probably for all of us, but our hope is that people from our community will seek this out as an opportunity to maybe have their own encounter with Jesus. And we want to be intentional to make room for more. So that's the second thing. The third would be this, is that we want to continue to engage with our community. And we talked about it already with like the boxes of love. What were they called? Welcome boxes. I mean, that's just one way that we can begin to engage with our community. We're also doing things with faith and action, with the Willowbrook Food Pantry, and we're also looking at, are there some ways that we can actually engage in schools in our community? What are some ways to think outside of the box that we can continue to engage in our community so that we're not simply gathering here on a Sunday morning, but we're actually, when we leave this place, we're finding ways to engage and bring the presence of Jesus into the places where we find ourselves already. Schools, sports, work, and then partnering with specific organizations like Every Child, like Faith in Action, like Willowbrook. We want to engage our community. And then the fourth thing would be really just to take next steps as a church plant. If you don't know much of our history, we're only 2 years old as a church. Still kind of just in toddler stage. We probably still have pull-ups on at this point. But we want to be a church that's going to have a lasting impact in our community. And we want to be a self-sustaining and a committed community in our community. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a few minutes when we talk about the idea of having like a really lasting impact. Because when we talk about maybe our vision for 2018, that's 1 year. But then what's beyond that? Like we want to have an impact that goes beyond simply 1 year here in Sherwood. And so here's the reality when we talk about having a lasting impact in a community. That to have a lasting impact in the community, we need to have a home within the community. And so we're in the process, and we're beginning the process and taking next steps and on evaluating what are long-term options and possibilities for us to move out beyond this space someday. Maybe in, who knows, I'm not going to toss out a day, like 3 years, 2 days, and a week. But in 2 years, in 5 years, in 10 years, we want to have a plan for a lasting impact, having a home in our community. I thought of it this way, like if I lived in a motorhome, like I could drive around and have an impact upon a lot of communities. But if I want to have a lasting impact on a community, on a neighborhood, I really would need to buy a home, settle down, connect with my neighbors, and make a difference over a long period of time. And that's our hope, and that's our desire, and we're in the midst of a process of, and even looking at property that is available to us here in Sherwood, just outside the city limits, and figuring out what is the right next step for us as a church related to that. And so the last question that I have beyond those things is, so how are we going to do that? So if this is of who we are and where we are and here's where we're going in the next year and beyond, so how are we going to do that? Well, we jump back to our last value, which is together, that together we'll get there. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says this. He says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." If you look up on the screen, you'll notice that there's a couple of words up there that are bolded. You maybe can't tell, but brothers and sisters is in bold. Bodies is in bold. Them is in bold. As I read this verse, it stuck out to me that Paul wasn't talking to individuals, but he was talking to a church. And that a church that together that they would do these things, that they would live a holy and living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he would find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. It was a group that together they would accomplish what Paul was hoping for them and really what the Lord had desired for them. And it's really the same thing for us as a church, that we'll do it together. On the back of that card, if you haven't looked at it yet, there's a whole bunch of statements. That really, this is what it looks like for us to be a part of Journey Church, where it says, together we'll get there. And on the back of the card, it says, we will take next steps. Together, we will take next steps with Jesus by seeking him in his word and through prayer. Together, we will play a part in God's plan by serving inside and outside the church. Together, we will support the church by praying for it and for it and each other regularly. Together, we will partner with God by faithfully giving. Together, we will bring more people to the table by inviting and welcoming guests. And together, we will know one another by connecting in a group or a serve team. We talk about next steps here at Journey Church often. And this list here, these are the next steps here at Journey Church. Maybe there's one of them that stands out to you right now. That's a next step that the Lord is telling me to take. I read this quote this week. I saw it online and I thought, I think I said this. And so the guy didn't quote me, so I'm not going to quote him. But he said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And these are some of our next steps in these days. Let me just close with a verse. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's verse 10. It says, "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose." I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And as they do, I realize that as you came in today, you got like some free gifts. You got a pen, a little Journey Church pen. And attached to that pen was a couple of cards. And if if you didn't get one yet, or if you don't have one yet, I got a couple people that were willing to maybe pass out a few others. So is there anyone that didn't get one that needs one? Nick is right here. He'll give you one if you need one, and so will our youth pastor. We're putting him to work today. But what you'll see on these is this is just a connection card. If you've been here at Journey Church before, you've seen a connection card before. You know that we hand these out and ask people to put in their name and their address and just to let us know that they've been here, that we might be able to connect with them. But today it's going to serve an additional purpose. So if you want to connect with us, if you've never filled one out, put in your name and whatever information you feel comfortable with, that's fantastic. But here's the thing I'm going to ask you to do with this today. If you look at the bottom of the front side of the card, there's some circles. There's on the left, it says, circle it, I made a decision to follow Jesus or to follow Christ. The next one is, I'm interested in learning more about Journey Church, or I'm interested in learning more about groups. But I want you to add a fourth circle at the bottom. If any of those first three apply, check them. Put a little mark next to it. But I want you to put a fourth circle at the bottom, because here's the question I want to ask you to kind of close our time this morning. Is as we talk about taking next steps as a church, and specifically in moving beyond a church plant into whatever's next, a church seedling, whatever you want to call it, that it really part of the steps for us is that we identify who is our committed community. Who are the people that would say, this is my church, this is where I'm home, this is where I want to play a part, this is where I'm committed, this is where I'm in. And so what I'd like you to do, if that feels like it's you, then if on that circle at the bottom, you can just create your own circle, check it, and right next to it, you could say, I'm in, or I'm committed, or I'm home. Something that just points out that Journey Church is your church. Now, I realize that if you're here for the first time, you're like, I didn't even realize there was a church here today. I just walked in. Don't worry about it. You can just pretend like you're writing. You know, at the end, everyone's going to put their cards in the basket. No one's going to know whose card was which. In fact, some of you are trying to figure out how this pen works. There's a little bead on the top. You guys figure that out? Yeah, you have to take that little bead off. Some of you just don't even take that off. You can pretend you're writing. Because there's no pressure. This is really just, if this is your home, that we want to come together and know that, and it allows us to take this next step together. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to give you a chance to keep writing whatever you feel like writing on there. You can even write while I'm praying. God will understand. And then we'll have a few people come around and collect these baskets, and this will be a chance where you can continue worshiping by giving of your offering today if you had prepared to do that. So would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the church that you have created here in Sherwood. And we thank you for the work you're doing in us and through us. That we ask, Lord, that you would help us to continue to be who we are, where we are. As individuals, Lord, that we would be focused on your plans for us, exactly where we're at. But also as a church, that you would give us clear vision, clear next steps, and a willingness and a desire to be obediently available to you. I thank you for my friends here. I thank you for the work you're doing in their lives as well. And we pray that all of it, what we do together and what we do on our own, that it would bring more glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us here at Journey Church. We're excited just to be with you and to spend even just a short time together. As you leave today, one of the things we say often is to just be reminded that as we leave this place, we aren't leaving the presence of God, but we're taking the presence of God with us wherever we go. And as you go today, if you didn't get a chance to drop a card in there, you can leave it on the table on the way out. We just want to hope that you have just a wonderful Thanksgiving, that you would enjoy time with friends and family. We look forward to seeing you again next week, where we begin talking about Christmas. It's time. Christmas is here. Have a great week.